Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers on this exceedingly marvelous day of the 11th of June. And do we have some interesting stuff to talk about today? I'm going to start the day with the information about the electron, because Archangel Michael is beginning conference calls this month on the electron. And you can go to my webpage at carolynevers.com. Up in the right-hand corner, there is a button that says conference calls. And under Archangel Michael's information, there is the first lesson for you. It is written out, given to me directly by Archangel Michael. What he is intending to do is that we take these lessons and we have fun with them. We practice them. And then he invites us, if we care to get on the telephone with him, and he will run us through some other exercises with the electron. And I wanted to tell you about one of the experiences that I had had in one of my meditations, because I think this is really cool stuff. He tells us that in the higher dimensions, the higher levels, that the electrons are working a little bit differently than they are here, because, of course, here there is a denseness. The particles are compacted in a denser manner. And in the higher dimensions, what you are what you would be thinking would be manifesting faster. And so one of the checkpoints from here to there is that we must learn how to control our thoughts. And so, in effect, we're going to be controlling our thoughts, we're going to be controlling our electrons. The interesting thing about all of this is that, and I'm going to get to that after I tell you about one of my experiences with the electron, is that we've done this before. We just don't remember. Oh, we've done it as if we were Knights Templar. We've done it in Egypt. There were other places that we worked with the electrons, because one of the reasons for it is the focusing of thought, so that our thoughts would become laser-like. I just love that idea, to be laser-like, to manifest what is behind that thought. Of course, it has to be a good thing. We don't want to be manifesting things that are not in our best interest or other people's best interest. So one of the things that we start with is something that is like a round ball that we would equate to an electron. Now, when I was working with it, I got a little fancy with it. I had a little box that I'd put it into. And so I had this little imaginary box, and I placed in it an imaginary electron, and I decided to work with it. And so I had a voice that said to me, imagine that your box is in the shape of a gold ankh. Well, that sounded great, so I did. I imagined that my box that I was holding in my imagination was in the shape of a gold ankh. And so I opened it. I opened the box, and what came out of it was a small gold ball. And I consider that to be my electron. And as I am watching it, it comes out of the ankh, and it turns into the shape of a ball with the head of a cobra on it. The ball was still there, but when it tried to form the tail of a cobra, and then the image turned into what appeared to be a golden dragon, and then quickly changed back to the ball with a cobra head, I got a little kind of antsy. When the cobra tried to kiss my third eye, I felt some fear at that time, though I shouldn't have. And then I hear this voice that says, allow. So I allowed the cobra to kiss my third eye, but didn't allow it to stay there too long, because I was still feeling some anxiety. Though the next time I do this, I think I will allow it to go through this process and take a little longer time. So then, according to Archangel Michael's instruction, I commanded the electron to spin. And as I commanded it to spin, it turned into a ball again. I had my electron spin, and then it spun in a clockwise direction, and then I ordered it to stop. And I think this is the interesting part. I discovered this, actually, you might say, through accident. I'm sitting in a chair, and there's sun's rays coming through my window, and it is shining on me. And I could feel the energy from the sun. And I do believe that that energy from the sun had some bearing on helping me go through this exercise in such a manner. And as I was thinking about it, I realized then, because I had remembered being in Egypt, we had worked with such things, and in Akhenaten's temples, we didn't have roofs on the temples, and the sun came directly on our work and our alchemy. This is what we're doing, friends. We are not only working with the electrons, but this is the entrance way into working with alchemy. And so in Egypt, we were using the power of prana to help with these exercises, though we didn't call it prana then, and I couldn't remember what we had called it. I was thinking about it, and I heard something that sounded like Shem. I don't think that was the complete word, but the Egyptians were using the prana from the sun with their mental exercises that they were doing. As I started working with this, and I had asked my higher mind what shape my box should be, I also found this very interesting because in this lifetime, as Carolyn Evers, I had been to Egypt, and I had a vision of working with a box that was in the shape of a golden ankh. So I thought that perhaps what I was doing now had something to do with that past lifetime. But what my higher mind was telling me is that, no, we didn't just work with these electrons in Egypt, that we had other lifetimes, and in particular in Rhodes when I was a Templar knight. So for those of you who perhaps were out there and had other lifetimes as Templars, you might remember this. You had worked with it then. And so one of the things about using these exercises and working with the electron that Archangel Michael is going to be leading us through is to also to help us remember past lifetimes when we performed such exercises. So this is about using the electron. It is also about remembrance. So I invite you who might be interested in this and sounds something like you might want to work with, again, go to my website, Carolyn Evers, CarolynEvers It's the little box in the top right-hand corner that says conference calls. Go in there and pick up the example of the first lesson where we're going to be working with that electron. So this is about remembrance. It is about going back to those times when we have done this in the past, when we were proficient with such drills, and play around with it. Have fun. See what comes to your mind. Do some exercises with this electron as you're sitting in prana. Try it. And see the kind of results that you get. Try it when you're not sitting in prana. In other words, explore, have fun with it. And if you're so inclined, join us and Archangel Michael later in the month when we're going to have a conference call. And together, he's going to be giving us some other exercises at play. Oh, I expect some grand fun with this. So my friends out there who are listening to this, if you care to join in on the conversation, you want to talk to the cherubim, want to know about your guardian angels, give me a call, 877 1-866-526-5227. And I invite you all, come, let us play together. I can't think of anything that would be more fun than that. I want to also to talk about some fascinating things that I had found today in a reading that someone had asked me to do for them. In case there are people out there who are not familiar with my work, I also work with the cherubim in the center of the cosmos, and they are the ones who hold the universal records, the universal Akashic records from all of the individuals who had ever lived, all their different lifetimes. And as these records move up through the different places that they are located in the cosmos, the final resting place really is at the foot of the Creator of all. Fascinatingly, there are times when the Creator actually asks for an individual record. And when the Creator asks for this record, the cherubim compact it in a certain way, turn it over to Source. Source reviews it and sends it back to them. And when I see these records, there is a special geometric shape that is on the cover of those records. It's not like something that is stamped there. It is moving. It is dynamic. I've done some readings for records where people may be asked as an individual, but also had questions about groups where I'd asked for records that had to do with the Knights Templar and the fascinating geometric configuration that was on their cover was quite interesting, how it was a circle and it spun around down into the very center like an eddy in a stream with other shapes on the cover. So the records themselves are quite fascinating, and what they reveal is quite fascinating. So there was an individual who asked about their son, and she wanted to know if her son was going to be able to take care of himself so that she could more or less go about her business and pursue other dreams. Well, I thought I wanted to tell you about this because I thought this was fascinating in the sense that it had something to do with materializing thoughts that we might have. In other words, manifesting thoughts that are in our minds. And so the child came into the lifetime with her needing some assistance. In other words, he wasn't born in such a fashion that he could just move away and take care of himself. He was one who needed the help of his mother. And this was an agreement between the two of them. And the agreement was made because in a previous lifetime, this particular mother had manifested something that was not in justice for all. And this is the point that I think it's good to know, that I really wanted to share with you, that if we have a desire, what the reading was saying, basically, if you have a desire, something that you want to do, a dream, envision that dream in its completion. We know these steps for manifestation because we want to paint a picture that is as closely illustrated to show every single detail of what we're trying to produce. Plus, we need to feel the emotion. If we feel the emotion of how we would feel once this dream is materialized, it's like taking a canvas and we've got our little paints, so to speak. But with our thoughts, we are painting on this canvas of our mind what we are trying to create. And we're trying to do it in vivid color, in vivid detail, in vivid emotions. And then we release it and we allow the universe to produce it in its perfection, not being attached to how it is going to come down, but knowing that it's going to be produced in justice for all. And this was the lesson that the cherubim were trying to convey to this particular individual, that this opportunity has come again to materialize the desire, but to allow the universe to structure how that was going to happen. I thought that was very fascinating, since we were now talking about electrons and working with those, and the fact that we have done this in our past lifetimes through history at some point, not in the low points of history, but in the high points of our soul history. These are, shall we say, exercises that we have done in the past. This is knowledge that we have held in the past. We are masters, though at times we forget. We forget our brilliance. We forget our masterhood. And so it is such things as obtaining readings from the cherubim or working with Archangel Michael through such a journey to help us remember, to help us get on the path again, because here we are facing another golden universe that is in front of us now, another opportunity of a moment where we can jump into the next dimension in all of its glory. We are at the doorstep, knocking at the door. So my friends out there who are hearing this, give us a call, 877-876-5227. If you are in U.S., from Canada, 888-810-8322. My friends, we're 20 minutes into the show. I know it's exciting listening to these things, but don't hold back and wait to 5 minutes before we're ready to get off the show and not give you the full answers that you're looking for. Give me a call. Call now. This is the time. This is the time. So what the reading was talking about is, when we've made a commitment with another individual before we come into this lifetime, that these are the things that are presented for us to face and to complete. Some of our questions about things, whether we should live in one country, live in another country, how we should do things, these have not been planned in, for the most part, they haven't been planned in our pre-planning before birth. And so these are more of a personal choice. I hear we have someone interested in a question. And your name?
My name is Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing, dear?
Pretty good. I wanted to see if you knew who it was. How are you doing, Carol?
Like, I'm going to forget your voice. So what
today?
Did this little electron exercise make you curious, or was there something else?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't catch the first 10 minutes, and then I just got on, so.
Oh, my goodness, Brian.
Yeah, it's kind of late. Yes.
You need to go to my website, carolynevers.com, up in the right-hand corner where it says
okay.
Conference calls, and pick up the exercise on the electron. Have you done that yet?
Not yet. I have not.
Okay, go do that. Work with it.
Okay.
I was giving the results of a time when I worked with the electron and how my higher mind was telling me to put this electron in the shape of an ankh.
Uh-huh.
And when I opened up the box, it came out turning itself. Well, first it was a golden ball, and then it started turning itself into with the head of a cobra. And anyway, that was what the first few minutes was about. And the thought that we have done this in many other lifetimes, where we have worked with manifesting and where we have worked with controlling our thoughts so that they are laser-like.
Yes.
And I believe you know how to do that.
Yes, it's the visualization and just a pure intent.
Yes.
Just holding that. That's right.
And so, you know, you added an interesting thing about holding that, because
yes,
sometimes our thoughts, yeah, they wander.
Yeah, they sure do. That's why I feel sometimes, maybe just starting out, I don't know, you know, how everyone does their own meditation, but I'm starting to learn that it's easier right before you go to bed when the mind winds down, a thought or chatter, or early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like this. So far,
I would say, Brian, it has to do with our lifestyle.
That's true. That's
really Yeah, I think if you're a person who gets up in the morning and you have to go to work and you're kind of busy, caught up in that,
yeah.
There aren't too many times. Or, you know, you've got family life, little ones that you're attending to.
Yeah.
Little ones who don't hang back while you're meditating.
Yeah.
They want to get right up there in your lap, don't they, Brian?
Yes, trying to find that space.
Yeah, but, you know, people who might be retired, they might find other days that work better for them because they get tired at night.
Yes.
So you kind of have to pace it. You know, it's the same old thing, knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so the person who stays up too late, watches television, and they're ready to drop on the spot, they might not be ready to meditate before they go to bed.
That's true. That's true.
So what can we do for you, Brian?
Well, I've been thinking this question over and over in my head, and I just can't get it out. And I just
be an important question.
Yeah, it seems kind of funny. I know I'm not the only one, so I'm going to ask this. I'm going to try to ask this in a way that it's, you know, it's for the audience also.
Okay, yeah. So you're calling for the audience. I love it.
Yeah, but not just me, but you know,
I hear
also
you.
For me. So
okay. Yeah, I figured it was for you too.
we know that there's life out there on other planets. I know that. Okay, it's just something that knowingness. You know, I look up at the stars at night and see how beautiful they are. So that's not the question yet, but I'm just giving you a little frame.
Sure.
My question is, for me and for the audience out there, or the people who are ready, mostly I'm going to speak just about me now, for Brian, is in this lifetime right now, which I'm in, through this physical form, will I actually meet, in physical form, my question is to the cherubim, will I meet in physical form those from other planets that are here now?
Well, I want to clarify what you're saying in this respect.
Yes.
Are you asking me if will some of these, what we call extraterrestrials,
yes,
actually land where they're going to get out of their spacecraft and you're actually going to see them, where you are going to be able to converse with them? Is that how you mean that, by meeting them?
Yes, in physical form, not just in our dreams or anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When will a day come for the audience, though, for them? When will a day come? Will it be soon, maybe, a time reference, or is it just when our consciousness has shifted enough where it's more of an allowance? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I wanted to clarify.
Yes.
The word physical. That's why I asked it to you.
Yeah, like
in that
like
way.
If I'm looking at you right now, if I come up to you and I give you a big hug or something, that kind of physical.
Yeah, I that's what I thought you meant, but I just wanted to check that.
Yes.
Before I ask the cherubim that question, though, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Have you communicated with individuals from other star systems or planetary systems? Have you communicated with them mentally?
Yes, I have. Mentally, I have.
Okay.
I have seen their face in my third eye.
Mm-hmm.
Just not too long ago, maybe within a week ago.
I love it.
Yes.
I've communicated with them when they've been in their spaceship, spacecraft, and I've seen it up in the sky, but I can't say that I saw their image in the third eye. So what kind of image did you see? Now you got me really curious.
Okay. I have seen a meme. I'm not sure which dimension they're on, but I've seen it looked more female, and she had a crown on, like a golden crown, and it had blue sapphire stones in the side. And I'm not sure what this represents. I don't know if it's my higher self or it's one of my spirit guides. I'm not sure. And I don't know. Also, it could be contact from another system. Me trying to connect to them. My energy going toward them or working with them. But I did see a face, and it's a beautiful face. I didn't see the body, but I saw a glow around it, and this is beautiful. And this was in my
You know, it's so incredible. We come down here, we have these incredible experiences, and nobody gives us an operational manual. You know, look under C. All the information there is under C for contact.
But I would love...
And it's like, we don't have an operational manual. We put here, we have forgotten everything, and like, what's up with that?
Exactly. It truly is. The soul knows what the, you know, the mind forgets what the soul knows. I mean, that's just true.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, I would love, you know, I'm just one who's open and
right.
with an intent. I would love to meet some of them in person.
I was at Lake Titicaca in Peru. And actually, I've been in a couple places in the world where I believe that there are, if we're going to use the word aliens, I don't particularly care
or just
for
our
that word, but
the
say
stars.
Individuals
yeah.
from other systems,
yeah.
and have been there and picked up their images in my third eye, like you were talking about, and actually saw them in their uniform in my third eye. So
yes.
I know in other dimensions they're already here, and
yes. Yes.
you do make contact with them as they streak across the sky in their spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
You can make contact with them, but now let's see what the cherubim might say about the physical form as such. I have my own thoughts about it. I don't know if they have a physical, well, let me see, they have a form. I'm not sure that their physical is the same construction as ours. So, I mean, I know they're here, I know that they're among us, but let's see what the cherubim might say. It's an interesting
okay.
question.
Yeah.
I can always expect you, Brian, to come up with an interesting question. I haven't asked them this before.
Thank you.
We'll see. Hold the line. I see the cherubim, and one of them have come forth with a book. And in this particular book, it is... What they would call Earth history. It's history of events that have occurred in this planetary sphere, and they've opened a section of the book, and they are pointing out the Zachariah Sitchin Chronicles, where he discusses what he found in the cuneiform tablets found in the Middle East that describes beings who came to the planet in physical form. They were more than mental forms. They actually had the physical, and they came from other systems. And so they wanted to tell us, yes, this has been an actual experience that is recorded in the Book of Records. Now, they are moving along to another time period, telling me that this is not necessarily in chronological order, but in an order. They started there because that work is better known in the planet because of the work that Zachariah has done. But there have been other experiences, though, from different groups. They are now taking me to Peru, to the area. They're showing me the what some people call the landing strips there. I can't think of it. It's just the word I can't pick up in my mind, but you know the area that I'm referring to, where there are the diagrams. I've flown over them myself. Yes.
I've seen
that. What?
I've seen those. The monkey, the spider.
Yes. In that particular area, that this was a period of time when space travelers also came. The rocks that have been found in that area that had etchings on the rocks. There was a gentleman in the area that had collected that the history on those rocks is actual history from the group that landed there, that is authentic. Now they're moving along to another section. This section is more ancient. I don't know that we really have an earth record of this, other than we have memories. We have ancient memories of this in our psyche, they're saying.
Lemuria? Lemuria?
No, I'm not getting Lemuria. They are showing me an image in the record of a very tall being, very broad-shouldered. They could not breathe the air here as others have been able to breathe the air, and that they had to use a breathing apparatus that they wore over their head. And they're telling us that these images have been carved in cave walls by some of the early inhabitants, and they are shown, as I said, broad figured across the shoulders with a helmet type of appearance. That was indeed a true visitation in the physical. They could never really move about without their breathing apparatus. They're taking me to another page that is describing, I believe it's pronounced the Dagon tribe or the Dagon tribe, where some of the another group came in their spaceships, and they were very much connected to the water. So their form was not a human form, but they needed to exist in water, which they did. And they're not opening up the book to show other areas, though they say that there are other points in our history where beings from other planets have come here. They were just offering those as illustrations of some of our soul memories that we have. To let us know that we have been visited many times in the past by individuals who had physical forms similar to us, by individuals who had physical forms similar to the animal world, some who had physical forms that could not breathe our atmosphere, some physical forms who were trapped here for a period of time because they became involved in, they're showing me this, the orbit of the Earth where their spaceship was caught up in the orbit and they were forced to land here because they did not have the ability at that moment to turn their spaceship around and go back into space. They're referring here in particular to that group in who landed Ica. That was the one that I was thinking of in Peru. They did take off later. They used a comet to get back into the trajectory to go home. And that was not a force that was going to come and land here. So the record is, Brian, that on this planet there has been many times when others have come in physical form and the people from this planet have met them and interacted with them. And the other thing that they're saying in a rather humorous way, where do you think we all came from?
That's true. I know that. Yeah.
And with the concept that we are all living a mosaic in a sense, that we're carrying a thread from the moment that Source created us as a soul. Source created all of us as a soul, that there wasn't a particular group that lived on a particular planet that was not created by Source, that all of us have been on a journey. It's just that our journeys have taken us to different places, and that some souls are the roving reporters of the universe, so to speak. It is their job to move through the cosmos, through the different evolving portals. And then there are some who have taken the approach that they wish to stay within a particular planetary system and evolve with their group soul, with their colony, so to speak. And they are showing me that most of the people here, they are identifying that most of the people here on in this particular system are of the nature of the roving reporter, where we're not necessarily, we have group souls and group experiences, but we're not living in the group where we're all going to move at one time to either the next dimension or all work within one unit. So we're working as individuals, not as a group. And they're bringing that to mind because what they're saying is that because this is not a group, because it is so much of an individual consciousness, and we are working on a group consciousness that is surrounding the planet, that the face-to-face interaction of the physical from other planetary systems at this moment of creation may or may not come to pass. It is dependent upon the group consciousness that is surrounding the planet.
Okay.
They cannot give a definite expansion of that until they see more closely how humans are going to develop their own individual consciousness that forms a group. So here on this planetary system, there is a very distinct lifestyle of individualism that is not necessarily found in other planetary systems that work as group colonies or consciousness. So, wow, Brian, satisfy your curiosity?
Almost. One last thing, Karen. I was just saying that was beautiful. But, and for Brian, will Brian ever, in this lifetime or the next, will I have a more open connection with him?
You, now, let's understand your question. Do you mean face-to-face, or do you mean
eventually,
a connection mentally?
More of a physical nature.
Okay, so you want to see, you want to know if you're going to meet somebody in the hard physical that you can identify has come from another planetary system.
Yes.
Okay, because I only say that because you are communicating with them now.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Oh, Brian, I think you sleep on a book of questions, dear. And that's okay, because I do, too. We're probably sleeping on the same book.
I know.
Let's see what we can find out. I got a chuckle at that one. What they are showing me is the ones who will walk among us, and they are saying that they will walk among us, will not be wearing spacesuits. They will not show themselves as coming out of flying saucers, so to speak.
Yes.
They're showing me an image. This is cute. They're showing me an image of a man with a briefcase wearing a suit. I got a chuckle at this. I didn't know they had such a sense of humor. And they are unbuttoning the front of this gentleman's coat. And underneath there is a form that is quite different from a human form. So what they're saying is, yes, they are walking among us now, that they are not planning on a mass landing. They are moving about in the sky so that we recognize them. They're trying to raise the consciousness of humans to accept them for who they are. They are walking among us, but the ones that are walking among us are not showing that they have the power to be here and walk among us, but not show the features that they carry on their planet of origin, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, as far as you're concerned, you will, and you will know it when you meet them.
Wow. And this is in this lifetime or the next?
They're saying this lifetime. And it is like they've got a little hidden joke about that. I think what you need to do, Brian, is meditate on this and ask yourself the question, have you already met them?
I wonder sometimes. The people I bump into and that walk among us.
See, that's you amazing. Can't very well go up to a stranger and unbutton his coat, can you?
No, I'll probably get harassment. Yep. That's great. That's so beautiful, Carolyn. But yes, I'm keeping my meditation and, you know, we're trying to record my dreams and just know that, you know, this is just an amazing universe we live in.
It is, and you're moving, you know, you're moving along quite quickly with this. And I will add to this that when you came into this lifetime, your guidance was expecting you to keep on the middle road, so to speak, and hopefully your soul has been prompting you along so that you take the upper path. And this is what they are showing me now, this very steep upper path, and you are on that path. And that is what is so beautiful about all of this, Brian, is that you are putting forth the effort that one needs to move themselves along this upper path. And they are showing me a picture of where the upper path goes to. And this upper path is very steep. It looks like a mountain peak, actually. And the top of the mountain peak is on, it actually goes through clouds, you know, the clouds that are in the sky.
Yes. Yeah.
And they are showing me that your path goes beyond the path, the level of the clouds, to get to the peak of that mountain. It's quite beautiful, and that is the road that you were on.
And I have strong guidance around me.
Oh, don't you ever.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
I mean, it's just, you know, if I get off of it a little, which I usually don't, I'm let known. You know what I mean? They let me know.
You're on the path. You're not going to get off of it. And it is because you have made the sacred commitment to yourself that you are going to follow the upper path. When a person starts the upper path, they're showing me the middle road. We're not even going to look at the downward road for the lower path, but the middle road that most of the souls trod, they're showing me that. And then they're showing me the path that moves towards the pinnacle of our abilities, of who and what we are, the magnificence of our soul. That is the pinnacle that is on the other side of the clouds. As the person starts up the path from the middle road, the road does not become too steep. It moves up very gradually, and then it starts to become steep. And in between that level where this gradual path then moves into a very steep upward path, there are challenges there. There is the testing of the soul. There is the testing of the commitment. And they are showing me that you are on the other side of that testing. You are on the other side of that commitment, that you have been tested and you have made your commitment, and you are up on the other, up on that higher road. You haven't gotten up to the clouds yet, but you are moving along that direction.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. That's just bliss for me, you know?
I know. It's not just the icing on the cake. It's the decoration on the icing.
That's for sure. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn.
My pleasure, Brian.
And have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Now, if there are some other friends out there who want to join in on the conversation, it could be a personal question, could be a general question. Our number here is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. I know the subject matter today is compelling. We are maybe have another 5-8 minutes before we have to be off the air, so don't hold back. If you have a question for yourself or for others, do call in. Don't wait to 2 minutes before we got to hang up. Call now. I just love the questions that I get from those who are in the audience. We have another question. I'm so glad you called before we were ready to turn in our keyboard. Who's this?
Hi, Carolyn. My name's Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary.
I was out researching your website today, and I happened to jump into the BBS section and caught some of your show.
Isn't that good?
It was great, because I just was out at your website. Actually, I just ordered a few of your books.
Well, isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Rosemary.
So, but I was listening to you and Brian, and my question is, because I think we're running out, I did try to get in. Brian beat me. So,
what was that last thing, unbeaten? Is that what you said?
No, I said Brian beat me to you.
Oh, okay. We got time,
call
Rosemary.
Now. You said call now, and Brian got in before me, so.
Okay, what's your question?
But my question is, since I'm going through a major shift in my life right now, and I'm trying to stay on my spiritual path and in my meditation, is what guide should I focus on? It's like every door I'm trying to go through, you know, because I've made a major shift in my life. I'm not working, so I'm meditating. I'm trying to manifest my dreams. But it's like every direction I go, the door is closing. It's like that's not the way I should go. And I wanted, where can I focus my meditation to get to where I need to be, where God, you know, where the universe wants me? Because every way I'm going right now, I'm not, it's like the doors are closing. They're slamming shut, what I think is this is the way I should go, the door shuts. So now
before we get on with that question, Rosemary, let me say something that struck me very. I got this impression very strongly when you said you weren't working, and you're talking about these doors shutting. And what I want to tell you, because I felt so strongly about this, this has been, though it might seem to you to be discouraging, these things have been put in your way for a mass awakening. Not only that, the point that you are not working at this moment is freeing up the time for you to move through that doorway. And what the cherubim are showing me right now is this very large wall and a very small doorway. And the doorway is ajar for you to make entrance through there. Now, so you are at the point of a mass awakening and this connection to your higher mind. They are also showing me that when you go through this doorway, and I have seen this doorway when I've done conference calls with the spiritual hierarchy, and the cherubim are opening the doorway again for me on the other side of that very narrow door. And I've seen this before in the conference calls. It is the view of the cosmos. It is the knowledge of Supreme Source. This is what is waiting for you, this connection to your higher mind that brings you to the energies of love that Source is sending you. So this moment in time is you're going through these struggles to get to that point. So I wanted to make this the first thing to say to you. Do not be discouraged. Your soul is opening up these opportunities. And more than that is you have this desire. You have this desire to pursue that doorway. And you will make it. Now, let me ask you another question. If we've got to be quick with this, because we're almost at the time and we've got to get off the air. What doors are slamming? What doors do you feel are being closed to you?
Like every job that I go for, it's like I'm always a top candidate, but I don't get the job. But that's not just it, because spiritually my whole focus is to be spiritual. But I have to live and provide for my children. Well, now I'm in sheer panic. Because, you know, everything feels like it's coming apart, and I feel alone. But I know in my meditation at night, I'm raising my vibration. I can feel that. I know.
Yes.
That's the most important thing to me. But with my children and trying to provide for my family, now I'm in sheer panic.
I understand what you're saying, Rosemary. I identify with it 100%. Because even though you are spiritual and you're working the spiritual path, you are living in this dimension and you have to live by the rules.
Exactly.
Would you do me a favor? Call me Wednesday on the station. The show is Cosmic Connections. My healer and co-host, Charlene McNeil, will be with me. And what we will ask her to do, to ask God, is to release any blocks that might be holding you back from manifesting the work that you want, so that we can release that. Would you do that?
Sure. What time, Carolyn?
Well, I don't know what area you're
in.
Here in the East, it's at 8 o'clock. So, I'm not sure what time zone you're in, but go to BBS, look at Wednesday Cosmic Connections, call there. We'll get Charlene to work with God and release anything that might be holding you back.
Okay.
And when you call in, tell me that you were the Rosemary that we talked with on Sunday, so you don't have to go through and explain all this, because I'll remember.
Okay. Okay, that's great.
Oh, blessings to you, dear heart. You
Thank
are in
you.
Such a good place. We're going to work with you so that you start manifesting the finances.
It doesn't feel good, but I know this is happening for a reason.
Yes, it is, darling. It is. And we'll talk to you more about that Wednesday. So much to say, so little time.
Okay. Thank you, Carol, and have a good day.
You too, dear.
All righty.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And so for those of you who are out there who didn't get an opportunity to call in, call at the next show Wednesday with Charlene. We've got so much good advice and so much good words to give you. And as a reminder, go to carolynevers.com, check out the lesson on the Electron, and on today's message board with BBS, my blogs, started two of them for two different purposes. Would like to meet with you again tomorrow in our dreams. Goodbye, everyone. I love you with all my heart.